And we're holding on Lamed Zayin Amud Bey's fourth line from the bottom. We started talking about a din in the Mishnah that an Eved Knani belonging to one Yid was captured by Goyim and then a different Yid ransomed him. So we said, Mishnah had said depends on whether, the Tanakhama had said depends whether he ransoms him as an Eved or as a free person. And Rav Shimon Gamliel says, either way, it doesn't matter. And we discussed in the Gemara two possibilities of understanding what scenario the Mishnah is talking about. We had Abaya saying that the original master has not yet had Yirush on the Eved. So therefore, according to the Tanakhama, if the first one ransoms him, having in mind that he's an Eved, then he goes back to the original master. If he had, if he bought him as a Ben Chorin, if he bought him as a Ben Chorin, then he goes free, because the second one certainly doesn't own him, and the first one we want to give people an incentive to ransom Avodim. So like this, in other words, Abaya takes the view there's not as much of a mitzvah to ransom Avodim as they would, at least Abaya takes the view that Tanakama would say there's not as much of a mitzvah to ransom Avodim Knanim. Therefore, once the person, in effect, the new person is saying, the second person is saying, I'm only going to ransom him only if he's a Ben Chorin. So therefore, we have to keep him a Ben Chorin, otherwise people aren't going to bother. Meanwhile, Reb Shimon Gamliel would be saying that either way, he would say there's mitzvah to redeem Avodim as well, and therefore we don't need that extra incentive. Then according to Rava, we said, we're talking about that it's La'acha Yush. So if the second one bought him as an Eved, then he can use him as an Eved. But if he bought him as a Ben Chorin, then neither one can use him as an Eved anymore. The second one bought him as a Ben Chorin, and the first one had Yush. Reb Shimon Gamliel would be saying that either way, he becomes an Eved based on what Chizkiah says, that we said that we don't want just the opposite. We don't want to incentivize Avodim to run away and join the army. Or join groups of bandits or whatever. So therefore we want to keep him as an Eved as much as possible. So now the Gemara continues. So what are we saying? According to Rava, we're talking about it's after Yush, and now he belongs to the second. So now he belongs to the second master. Because the first one had Yush, so now the new person who bought him as an Eved, then Rava is saying, the Chachamim are saying that now the second one is allowed to keep him as an Eved. The question is, Rabbi Miman Konilei, the question is, who did that second master, that second owner, who did he buy him from? Mishabai, he bought him from the guy who captured the Eved in the first place. Well, Shabai Gufa Mikonilei, how did the captor come to own him in the first place? What kind of kinyan did he make? It wasn't his Eved. So the same way you wouldn't say, for example, if a person steals something and you buy it from him, then it's a valid kinyan. So what kind of kinyan? What kind of kinyan did the Shabbai, did the captor make on this Eved? The question is not so much the fact that he stole him. The question is, does the Shabbai really own him to that extent? And the answer is, Ain, yes, Koni Lele Maisi Yodav, he owns him as far as his Maisi Yodav. So now, in other words, so the Eved originally belonged to Reuven. A Shabbai stole him, now kidnapped him, whatever. Now Shimon is buying that Eved. So now in between, the Shabbai owns the Maisi Yodav of the Eved. So now Shimon is buying that right from the Shabbai. The fact that he now owns the Eved, fine, that's because of Yush. But the point is, the Shabbai, the Goy himself, owned the Eved in between to a certain extent, as the Gemara is going to now establish. He doesn't own the goof of the Eved, but he does own his Maisi Yodav, the fact that he has the rights to the Eved's earnings or whatever he makes or whatever. In fact, by the way, Rishonim point out, on one level, we can say the question is really only on Rava. Really, on the surface, we could say the question is on Abaya as well. But Abaya says that. So what did Abaya say? That there can be when the second one bought him as a Ben Chorin, then. Or within Reb Shimon Gamliel's opinion, we said that Ben Kach Yishtaber, So he'll work for the, oh no, yeah, he says that in the case where he bought him as a ben chod and then he goes free, you could on the surface ask the same question on a baya as well. What makes it, what gives him the right to now own that eved to the extent that now he goes free? But okay, since Rava is the one who more clearly said, one answer is since Rava is the one who more clearly said that the second one now is allowed to work with him, so therefore the Gemara presents the question on him and not so much on Abaya. But anyway, so the question is, so what kind of kinyan was there that removes the original owner's ownership? And the answer is yes, the Shabbai makes such a kinyan. The Omer Rish Lakish, as in fact Rish Lakish says, minayin la'ovit kachavim shakonu asa ovit kachavim l'maisi yadav. When we have over here ovit kachavim, obviously it's really one of those, but it's really one of those places where it's supposed to say goy or nochri or something like that, and then the censor has changed it. Anyway, how do we know that one goy is able to own another goy to the extent of maisi yadav? So he doesn't actually own the goof of the other goy, but he's entitled to his maisi yadav. So where do we know that? So where do we know that from? Shenema the gam mibnei hateshavim agorim imochem. The pasuk says also from the children of the goyim who are residing in Eretz Yisrael, who live among you, from them you're allowed to buy. So what's mehem tiknu means? Means atom koyne mehem. You Jews are able to buy avodim from them. And they become fully yours. You even own their goof. But v'loy heim koinim mikem. But vice versa, goyim are not able to acquire the goof of the Yisrael. So as the Braise is going to go on to say, they can own their maisi yada, but no more than that. V'loy heim koinim zemizeh. And similarly, the goyim are not able to acquire an eved one from the other in that way. So in other words, again, when you have an eved when you have a Jew who is an eved to a goy, or one goy is an eved to another goy, then he only owns his maisi yadav. He has the right to the other person's earnings, but he doesn't own his actual goof. So Rashi points out the nafkamina of that is, let's say, so you have an eved that belongs to a goy. If now that eved were to run away and become a ger, he would be right away allowed to marry a Jewish woman. We wouldn't say he needs a get shichru. Further down on the Amud, we're going to say that an eved of a Jew, even if he runs away, eventually he requires a get shichru in order to allow him to marry a Bas Yisrael, but that's because the Yid owns the actual goof of the eved, but a goy does not, so therefore that would be the difference. So the Braisa continues, Yochol lo yiknu zeh. So you would think they can't acquire one another as avodim. And the Gemara interjects before we even continue what the Braisa is going to say. What do you mean, Yochol lo yiknu zeh? Ha'amet lo heim koinim zemizeh. You just said they can't. So yeah, they can't. What is the Braisa saying? What it means is, Hochi karma. The Braisa means, V'lo heim koinim zemizeh gufoy. So one goy is not able to acquire another one as far as his goof. To say that his goof should be that the goof of one goy should belong to another, that doesn't happen. So now then, the question is that yochol yiknu zeh maisi yadav. So you would think maybe even insofar as maisi yadav, maybe the pasuk is giving us a miut that a goy can't own another goy even as far as maisi yadav. So how do we know that they could? So amar ta kal v'chomer. The answer is you can make a kal v'chomer to show that they could. A goy is able to acquire even a yid as an eved, because we have psukim over there in Parshas Bahar after it talks about so it goes through a yid sells his property and he has to borrow money and you're not allowed to lend him at ribis and so forth, and eventually it talks about that he may have to sell himself as an eved. First, it talks about him selling himself as an eved ivri to a yid, and then it talks about him selling himself as an eved to a goy. So we see, therefore, a goy is able to be koina a yid as far as his maisi yadav, because the pasuk clearly entertains such a possibility and says what the dinim are. You have to work to buy him back, to ransom him from the goyish master. But often, if not, then he stays there. If not, then he stays there until yovel. So ovid kachavim, like koshken, how much more so that one goy would be able to buy another goy in so far as maisi yadav. Okay, Within that, there are different Rishonim that talk about exactly what. What exactly is the difference? So in effect, in other words, one way of looking at it is the Yid is basically just the Yid is almost like a mashkin for the debt that he owes the guy. The guy bought him with money, so now the Yid is in effect like a living mashkin for that. So for example, if the guy wanted to forgive the debt, then the Yid would go automatically free. Another way of understanding it is that he does have an actual kinyan. If he wants that the yid should go free, it's not enough to just be moichel the choiv. He would actually have to tell him you're free to go. Maybe even write him and get shichru. Whatever. Anyway, the point is that but the point is yes. So we see that one goy can own another one as far as maisi yadav, but not as far as his guf. So therefore, that's what we're saying. So now, when this goy goes and kidnaps an eved from one yid and sells him to another, so he had a certain degree of kinyan on that eved as far as maisi yadav, and he's able to sell that to the second yid. So that explains what Rava is saying, that you could have a case. So as long as it was after Yiyush, then according to then the second one is able to keep him as an Eved because he bought that right from the Shabbai. Okay, so the Gemara asks, the Ema Hani Mila B'Kaspa. Okay, so you could say maybe that is when a goy buys an Eved with money. Then fine. Then he owns him as far as Maisa Yadav. Because after all, the Pesukim over there in Parshas Bahar describe that scenario. You're buying an Eved Kanani with money. Or a goy is buying an Eved Kanani with or an Eved Ivri with money. And in fact, when it comes to buying a yid, which is what you were using as the basis of the Kal V'Chomer, we're talking about he was bought with money. You have the pasuk clearly mentions over there mikesef miknasa, the money that he was bought with. So you could say if he paid money, sure, avo b'chazak aloy. But where do we see maybe not with chazaka? Maybe if a goy just grabs a hold of another goy, or in this case of an eved of a yid, maybe that's not enough for him to be koina that eved. And if that's the case, then how can Rava be saying that the second one has the right to use him as an eved? The answer: what kind of chazaka are we talking about over here? Rashi explains that we mean what we mean by chazaka is the kind of thing where you make the person work for you as an eved. For example, you make him put on your clothes, or you make him dress you, or put on your shoes, or whatever. So those kinds of things are considered. Rashi says those kinds of things are considered a chazaka, and now the guy is officially an eved. And Rashi adds the point. Now, when it comes to, now we know there was a kinyan on land, there's a kinyan of chazaka, but that's between one yid and another. A goy wants to buy land from a yid, he has to pay money. There's no such thing as acquiring b'chazaka, so why should he be able to acquire an eved with chazaka? Tosfos says that no, that kind of chazaka that Rashi is referring to as far as an eved is not the way you buy the eved. That's how once you've bought the eved, then you do that chazaka on him. So rather, Tosfos says that no, when we say chazaka over here, we just mean the chazaka of that you captured or conquered him in war. So the question is, where do we see that a goy has the ability to do that, to fight a war and take spoils, or in this case, to be coming with armed bandits or whatever, and grab an eved? Where do we find that such a thing should give him rights over anything that he takes? And the answer is, the answer is Amar Papa Amun Amoy of Taru Besichin. The answer is consider what happened with the lands below, with some land belonging to Amun and Moyav, where it became Tahor for the Jewish people to take by Sichon capturing it. We know Hashem had told the Jewish people when they're passing through that area, don't fight against Moyav, don't fight against Amun, don't try to take any of their territory. But meanwhile, some years earlier, Sichon had fought against those countries and taken part of their land, and it became his kingdom. And now the Jewish people are allowed to conquer it from Sichon, which they did. So we see that it became Tahor for the Jewish people to take through Sichon. In fact, next week's parasha, Parashas Chukas, we have not only that whole story, but we also have the Haftarah is a continuation of that Rashi refers to over here. Later on, when the Ammonim are subjugating the Jewish people and then harassing them for many years, and Yiftach sends a message to Bnei Ammon, what do you want from us? And then the king of Ammon says, I want our land back. So Yiftach gives him a whole historical review of what happened. The gist of it being that yes, we captured those lands from Sichon, not from Amun and Moab, and therefore they're fair game for us to keep, and you have no rights to be demanding them back. Anyway, so we see that yes, a goy has the ability to make a chazakah on a piece of land, especially through conquest and war, we're saying over here, because that's exactly what Sichon did, and Halacha considers it to be his. So therefore, by the same way, the Shabbai is able to acquire the Eved in the same way. Now, what does that have to do? I mean, this is Sichon conquering the land, not the people themselves. So Tosfos says, okay, listen, you know, we can assume the same way as they conquered their land with Chazakah, the same way also the people, the Pashtus, any people who lived in those places, Sichon took them, Sichon made them slaves of his. So therefore, we see that he could do that as well. On the other hand, the Rashba says, we don't really need that at this point. We just want to show that a goy has the ability to make a Kenyan Chazakah at all. Once we accomplish that, then fine, you know, then we can discuss what kind of chazakah it was exactly. But we first need to establish that there even exists a Kenyan chazakah for a goy, which we do. Okay, well, Ashkechon ovid kechavim. Fine, so then that takes care of the case where one goy acquires another goy with chazakah. Whether Rashi's kind of chazakah of forcing him to work as an eved, or Tosfos's kind of chazakah of actually fighting a war and winning it, but Yisrael Menalon. Where do we see from that one yid that a goy has the ability to acquire a yid in such a way with chazakah? And after all, an eved Kanani is a half Jew as well. Once he belonged to Israel. And the answer is, we find, Dichtiv Vayish Mimenu Shevi, we have also in next week's parasha, that at one point, the Melech Arod, who Rashi tells us over there, based on a Gemara, was really a Molech in disguise, came and fought against the Jewish people and captured from them Shevi, a captive. So since the Pasuk is calling him Shevi, captive, then that implies that it actually belongs to him. So therefore, yes, we see that the act of capturing itself, or the act of doing a chazakah with him afterwards, can count as that, and therefore that he's actually considered now the property of the goy. So now the Ritva points out actually that now Rashi on the pasuk says that this shevi was actually one shivcha knanis that belonged to a yid, and then the goyim captured her from the Jewish people, and then they say to Hashem, if you help me defeat this nation, I'll destroy their cities, and Hashem helped them win the war. So the Ritva says, evidently, all Gemara that is disagreeing with that explanation, because the implication the Gemara is saying over here is that it applies only to that if we had only that, then you would show, fine, a goy is able to capture an Eved Kanani from a yid, and it becomes his Eved. Where would we see that it applies to a free yid? So evidently, then you would say that the Gemara over here is disagreeing with that drasha on the pasuk. On the other hand, there were other Meforshim who say not necessarily. Once we establish that they have the ability to do that, even with a shivcha knanis, then the same thing would apply even to a full fledged yid. So Tosfos points out why do we need all these various proofs? We had several different proofs then that a goy is able to acquire a yid. Why don't we just start with Vayish Mimenu Shevi? That shows that they can acquire even with Chazaka. Now we don't need Amun Umayav Taru B'Sichon, and we don't need the rest of that. And the answer is because the fact is Vayish Mimenu Shevi doesn't mention any Kenyan. Because we find Amun Umayav Taru B'Sichon, therefore that makes it possible for us to understand, you know what, Vayish Mimenu Shevi means that now the shifcho, whoever it was that they captured, actually belongs to them. So therefore we really need both psukim, and then in addition we have the previous one that shows that a goy is able to acquire a yid. There it makes it more clear that it applies even to a ben chorin. The truth is actually there are Rishonim who learn, the Ramban learns that if a goy captures a yid, he does not in fact own him even as far as Maisa Yadav. You can't acquire him without his rutzen. Whereas the Rashba disagrees, the Rashba and we see over here that the Rashba over here disagrees and says that he would be able to acquire even a yid of ben churin, and therefore so according to them, if another yid does pidyon shvuyim, he would be entitled to use that yid that he redeemed as a slave. In fact, the Rashba says maybe even that yid would need a shtar shichru. So okay, different other rishonim are uncertain about that point. But in any case, so now we've established that a goy is able to acquire definitely another goy, also an eved knani or shivcha knanis, and even according to some rishonim, maybe he can even acquire another yid. He can acquire another yid. That everybody agrees to, based on the Gemara over here. Whether now he can acquire him to the extent of that he can now sell him to another yid, and the other yid is considered his owner. That you have this discussion among Rishonim. But in any case, we've shown therefore that yes. So now, when an eved belonging to Reuven is kidnapped by a goy, by a shabai, and sold to Shimon, then yes, the goy had a certain ownership of an eved, which now he transfers to Shimon, and that would be why the Mishnah is saying that now the second one, that Shimon, is now able to use him as an eved. Okay. So the Gemara continues, Amar Rav Shimon bar Abba, Amar Rav Yechanan. Eved sheborach mibeis ha'asurim, if an eved knani was captured by these goyim, and then he escaped from jail, yotzel cheiros, then automatically he goes free. Now he becomes fully free because his master had yush from him. So now he doesn't go back to his original Jewish master. Not only that, but at this point we force his original master, the yid, to write him out a get shichru, so that he should now he should be able to marry a bas yisrael. So the Gemara says, why? Tanan, we learned in our Mishnah, Reb Shimon Gamliel and Ben Kach Yishtabed. We said that Reb Shimon Gamliel in our Mishnah says that whether the second yid bought the eved, having in mind that he's an eved or having in mind that he's free, either way, Ben Kach Yishtabed. Either way, he goes back to being an eved. According to Abaya, we were talking about that he goes back to the first to the original master. According to Rava, it means since it's after Yir, she goes to the second one, because now the first one no longer owns him. But in any case, Reb Shimon Gamliel says that, and the halacha should be like him, because v'omer Rava b'abachana omer Rav Yechanan, kol makom sheshaner Reb Shimon Gamliel b'mishnaseinu, anywhere throughout Mishnayos, and specifically Mishnayos, we mean, as opposed to Brisos, where Reb Shimon Gamliel says a halacha k'moise, Reb Yechanan says the halacha is like him, with the exception of three dinim, where the simon for them is orev. These are the key words for them. Orev is a case in Balabasra involving getting paid back by an orev for a loan going after the orev instead of the loiva. There's a scenario over there where Reb Shimon Gamliel will say that. So the way normally the halacha is where if the loiva has resources, you have to go after him first. Only if he can't afford it, then you go after the orev. You have a case over there where to begin with, he said when he gave the loan, I'll manas that I'll get paid from whichever I want. So the Tanakhama says fine. In that case, he can go after the order first. And Reb Shimon Gamliel says even then he has to go after the lawyer first. His tanai is ineffective. So that would be one case. The halacha is not like Reb Shimon Gamliel. Another one is Sidon, is a case later on in Or Masechta involving a get with a certain tanai. Uraya Achroina is a case in Sanhedrin where the Beis Din tells a person, if you have any proofs or any edim, bring them to Beis Din. And the guy says, I don't have any. And later on, he finds some. So Reb Shimon Gamliel says he can still bring them. And the Chachamim say no. But in any case, Or Mishnah is not one of those three cases. Therefore, the halacha should be like Reb Shimon Gamliel. So the Eved goes back to being an Eved. What do you mean? You're telling me that if the Eved runs away from the captors, then now he's free. So b'shleim ala Abaya. So according to Abaya's understanding of our Mishnah, then it's not a question on Reb Yechanan. Muki lo lahai lifnei yush. He will explain that Reb Shimon Gamliel's din, the whole Mishnah, he says, is talking lifnei yush. Vahai la'achar yush, whereas Reb Yechanan is talking about la'achar yush. So therefore, that's the difference. If it was before yush, if it was before Yiyush, then he goes back to being a slave as an Or Mishnah. Rabbi Yochanan is saying, after Yiyush, look, the first Eved, the first master, doesn't own him anymore anyway, because he had Yiyush. At that point, we force him to write a get shichur so the guy can marry a Bas Yisrael. But Rava says that our Mishnah is also talking La'acha Yush. Kasha de Rabbi Yechanan and Rabbi Yechanan. So isn't Rabbi Yechanan contradicting himself? He's saying the halachas like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, but now he's saying, on the other hand, in this case, the Eved no longer belongs to the first master. So the answer is Amalach Rava. The answer is Rava can explain to you. Time of my look, according to my understanding of the Chachamim and Rav Shimon Gamliel, why is it that Rav Shimon Gamliel would say he goes back to the first master? Mishum de Chizkiah is based on Chizkiah's point that we made, that we said before in the Gemara that we learned yesterday, that we don't want the Eved, we don't want to give an Eved an incentive that he can just free himself so easily by going and running away and joining the army. So therefore we want that if we get him back, then he continues to be an Eved. But now, in this case, Rava would say, Bereach Shiny. It's different when he ran away from the Goyim. Hashtalak Tola Moso Nafshe. After all, he's putting his life in danger. Apuli Apple Nafshe Lagayosis. Is he going to be the type to go and is this Eved going to be the type to go and try to join gangs of armed bandits or whatever, where then he's putting himself in danger. So therefore, there's less of a concern with that. The Ritva brings two possibilities what the Gemara means by that. One is that putting himself into gaiosis itself involves a certain inherent danger. After all, being in a gaius, whether a gaius means an official battalion of the army, whether it means a group of bandits or whatever, such a life is very risky. So if we see that he's running away from jail in order to avoid staying by them, we can be sure he's not the kind who would have to begin with been makalats milagayosis. So therefore we don't have to apply Chizkiah's din in that case. Therefore we could say in this case he goes free, unlike the regular case where we don't want to give him the idea of, hey, I can go join the gayosis and then I'll be free. Or the other way, the Ritva says, the other way around, when escaping from jail is pretty risky. If they catch him, they'll kill him. So if we see that he's escaping from jail, and then we can see that he's not afterwards going to go and be makil gayosis, because that would defeat the purpose. What did he get out of jail for in the first place? Is because he wants to save his life. So therefore, there's no problem if we tell him go back and be an Eved. He's not going to say, well, fine, in that case, I'd be better off with the gayosis, because if that's the case, he would have just stayed there with them to begin with instead of risking his life to run away. Okay, so no contradiction between Rabbi Yochanan's statements. We would say normally the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, and the Eved goes back to his first master. If it was la'acha yiyush rather than he would go to the second master, or even maybe in this case to the first one, we would ignore the yiyush. So, in fact, Tosfos says actually that Rava would say that sure, if the second one bought him as an Eved, then yeah, the second one gets to keep him. But if he bought him as a Ben Chorin, Rav Shimon Gamliel says we ignore that, and he goes back to the first master because of this problem of makalatz milagayosis. So now we're saying, but in this particular case where he ran away from jail, then that wouldn't apply, and therefore, in fact, he does go free. The Gemara continues. Amsei demar Shmuel ishtaboy. It happened once that a maidservant, a shivcha knanis, belonging to Shmuel, was captured by goyim. Parkur l'shum amhasa. So other yidden did pinyon shvuyim, and they bought this shivcha, intending for her to remain a shivcha. V'shadru alay, and they sent the shivcha back to Shmuel. But now, Shohule, they also sent him a message. They wanted to know who is the halacha like. Anan k'rab Shimon Gamliel Sviralon. We hold like Rav Shimon Gamliel, so therefore that's why we sent her back to you. At, as far as you, Shmuel, I nami k'rabon and Sviraloch, whether you hold like Rav Shimon Gamliel or whether you hold like the Chachamim, you should know. Anan l'shum amhasa parkin and l'niyala, we had redeemed her from the goyim, having in mind that she should remain a shivcha, so therefore... So they're saying, in other words, you should know she's remaining a shivcha regardless. We hold like Rav Shimon Gamliel, and as far as you, it doesn't really matter. Either way, she still belongs to you. So the Gemara asks, so the Gemara points out, now they were all, these people who sent her with this message to Shmuel, they thought that all of this had been, that all of this had been lifnei yush. They thought Shmuel had not yet had yush on the shifcha yet, so therefore that's why they returned her. V'loihi, in fact, it wasn't so. La'acha yush haba, it was in fact after yush. So what happened was when Shmuel got her back, so not only did Shmuel not keep her as a shivcha because he had already had yush on her, he didn't even require her to have a get shichru. She's considered once she was captured and he was miyayish of her, then automatically she goes free right on the spot. She doesn't even need a get shichru Shmuel held in order for her to marry a ben yisrael. Tosfos points out, of course, that would mean that Shmuel had to have held like a bayin. If he held like Rava, then we would have to say she would require get shichru, because after all, Rava had said that the second people are in fact able to keep him as an eved. So that would require a get shichru. But anyway, so we see that Shmuel held like Abaya's understanding of our Mishnah. So he said that the dinim of our Mishnah of yishtabed or not apply only lifnei yush, la'achal yush. In fact, he goes free. And the Gemara says Shmuel v'taymei. Shmuel is going according to his own svara in that. Dorma Shmuel hamafker af avda yotzal acheres. Shmuel says if a person declares his slave hefker, then he automatically goes free. The enet sorach get shichur, and he doesn't even require a get shichur. Shenema, as the pasuk says, b'chol eved ish miknas kosef, b'chol eved ish miknas kosef. The pasuk says any eved of a person who was bought by money. So the pasuk goes on to say you have to give him a bris milah, and then he's allowed to eat from the korban pesach. But why does it say eved ish miknas kosef? Mean what do you mean eved ish v'lo eved isha? Does this din only apply to an eved of a man, not of a woman? Of course not. The same din applies equally well. So why does the pasuk say ish? Ella eved sheyesh l'rashus l'rabbi olav kari eved. Rather, Shmuel learns that it means that any eved whose master has control over him, kari eved, is called an eved. So only if he's eved ish, only if there's a man who actually has rashus over him. Eved she'en l'rashus l'rabbi olav and kari eved. Whereas Shmuel says an eved whose master has no rashus over him anymore. In this case, because he declared him hefker, or in Shmuel's case, because he was miyash from him, then he goes free. He's not considered an eved anymore, and he doesn't even require a get shichur. Now Tosfos points out there would be a difference in general, of course, an eved kanani requires a shtar shichru in order to allow him to marry a bas yisrael. But over here we're saying that there are cases where a shtar would be needed, namely where he tells him, for example, you're on your own. If he tells him you're a ben churin or you're on your own or whatever, then he has to write a shtar to confirm that. But it's true. Tosfos says if he actually takes away his hefker, then Shmuel would say you don't even need a shtar for that, and he just goes for you automatically. Actually, Tosfos Hashanim points out that there might be. That there might still be cases, even according to Shmuel, where you still need a shtar, where being mafker him is not enough. But basically, we're saying that in general, being mafker him, Shmuel is saying, would be enough, and you don't need anything further. Okay. Another case, the Gemara says, Am Hose Drab Abba Bar Zutra Ishtaboi, a maidservant, a shifkanist, belonged to Drab Abba Bar Zutra, was captured by Goyim. A certain person from Talmud, Rashi says it was a goy from Talmud, bought her from the Shabbai, Lashum Itza, having in mind that he's going to marry her. He's a goy, he's allowed to marry a Shivcha Knanis. So then the Chachamim sent to Rav Abba a message telling him what he should do. Eos Avdus, they tell him, if you want to do the right thing, Shodra Gita de Chirusa, send her a get shichru. And that way she won't be a shivcha knanis anymore.
So Gilyan Ashas actually, Rav Akiva Eger's wonder is actually why he would even have, how even a get shichru could work in that case where he doesn't have the ability to get her back from this fellow from Talmud. But here the Gemara is saying that apparently that's how it is. He could send her a get shichru. Well, the Gemara asks why. Heichidami. If the story is that conceivably they, that Jews could buy her, could buy her from the guy, or even from this fellow from Talmud who wants to marry her, so why give her a get cherus? Just rebuy her, have her continue to be a shivcha knanis, and her baba will continue to own her. The idol and motzu parkula, and if the scenario is we're not able to, this fellow from Talmud is really is really in love with her or whatever, and he dafka wants her as a wife, and there's nothing you can do about it. So ki shodol gitu de chirusa mayhavi. What's the difference whether you send her whether you send her a shtar shichur? She's under his possession anyway. So what good does it do? She's under the control of the goy anyway. A shtar shichur is not going to make a difference one way or the other. What do you mean? She's now going to become a free Bas Yisrael. The guy has her under his power anyway. How are you helping with that? So the answer is La'olam de Motzu Parakila. We are talking about, after all, where conceivably they could redeem her. Conceivably, we could get the guy to agree on a price for her. So just the opposite. The Kivin de Meshadol a Gita de Cherusa. Once you send her a get shichur, so now she's a free Jewish woman. Chaburi mechabri ahadadi o Parakila. Now the people over there will get together and put together money and be mashachar her, because now she's a full Bas Yisrael. So now, either fine, we said before that maybe there's a mitzvah to buy avodim knanim as well, but still, people might figure, why should I bother? Let her stay. She's marrying a goy. What's the difference? Let her, instead of a shichur knanim, she'll be a goy. So what do we care? But now, where Rav Abba is sending her a get shichur, and automatically, therefore, she's becoming a free Jewish woman. Now that gives the people in that area a much stronger incentive to actually go and put their money together and redeem her and redeem her from the goy. So that would be one answer. The boyisema, another explanation you could say why sending a get shichur would be effective. La'olam deloy motzu parkila. The case could be it's impossible to free her from this goy. He wants her as a wife no matter what. But the kivin de meshadol a gita de cherusa. But if Rav Abba sends her a get shichur, that's going to be different. Till now, as far as he knows, she's a regular goita. He doesn't know that she was a shivcha. Now, when Rav Abba sends a get shichur, all of a sudden that makes this goy from Talmud realize, this woman is actually a shivcha. So then, so the result is mitzala ba'ape. The result is that she'll be degraded in his eyes. The fact that she was a shivcha, umafrikla, and then he might be more willing to let her go free. So now, after all, he'll be willing to sell her, and that way she doesn't remain married to this guy. So the Gemara asks, why would that have an effect on him? So what if she's a shivcha? Why would he care? Well, Amamar, don't we have a Gemara in Avodah Zarah? Chavivin lahen behemtan shayisro yosim in shesehen, that goyim are more attracted for bestiality to Jews, animals, even than they are to their wives. So in other words, the Gemara discusses over there the point that a yid is not allowed to have his animal stay in a goy's stable, because there's a concern that the goy might commit bestiality with it, which is one of the things that's also from Sheva Mitzvos Bnei Noach. You're not allowed to give the goy an opportunity to do the issur lifnei iver. So therefore, the Gemara discusses over there, what if the goy has his wife with him? And the answer, it doesn't matter. He still might have more of a taiva for the Jew's animal, even more than his own wife. So now, if he finds out that this woman was a shivcha, so what? Isn't he still, why would that cause her to be degraded in his eyes to the extent that he'd be willing to say, okay, fine, I'm willing to take money for her and you can take her? The answer is, when it says hani mila b'tzina, that's when it's in private. And then sure, they're going to be attracted even to an animal. Avum fahesia, but when it's in public, zila b'humilsa, they would consider it beneath their dignity to be marrying a shivcha. And therefore, so if he finds out that he's a shivcha, then he's more likely to say, forget about it, then I don't need to marry her, you can buy her back. So therefore, so there's two possibilities why Rav Abba sending a get shichur would help. Depending again, whether we're talking about that it was, but that depending whether we're talking about the goy to begin with would have been willing to sell her versus not. Okay. Another case involving a shivcha. This one is not, now we're not talking anymore right now about a shivcha being captured. Now we're talking about a more general din of a person freeing his shivcha. Hahi amsa de havas b'pumadisa. There was a shivcha knanis in Pumadisa. De havu kama abdi ba'in shi isura. Men were committing isurim with her. Because they she was available to them for znus. So men, Jewish men, were being mezana with her. So Omer Abaya, he loved Omer of Yehuda Amashmo, called him a shachar abda over be'eseh. So Abaya says, you know, if it weren't for the fact that Rabbi Yehuda tells us in the name of Shmuel that if a person frees his Eved Knani or Shifcha Knanis without a good reason, then right now we don't even know that a good reason is needed. B'chla, we would say over be'eseh, that Rabbi Yehuda said he's over on an eseh because the pasuk says, lo'olam bahem ta'avoidu, you should have them work for you forever. So to be a shachar and Eved would be a violation of that. So Abaya says, if it weren't for that, having a kayif, lay the mara, I would force them, I would force this shivcha's master, because of a git de chirusa, that he should write her a get shivcha, and that way she'll become a regular Bas Yisrael, and now she can marry a Yisrael, and he'll make sure that she won't be Mizana in the future. So Abaya is saying, in this case, there's really nothing we can do about it. But if we were to make him be Meshachar, he would be Oiran and Esse. On the other hand, Ravina Omar, Ravina says, actually, no, in this case, we could use that din. Moide Rabbi Yehuda, Mishra Milsa di Isura, Rabbi Yehuda would agree where there's an Isur involved in this case, that it's being machshil people, that yes, you can, that would be a valid reason to override the usual din that you're not allowed to free, that you're not allowed to free an Eved or a Shifa. There is some interesting discussion about this. First of all, you have a sometimes we say a concept. We don't say to a person chatei b'shvil sheyizka chaverach. We don't tell a person that we don't tell a person you do an avera in order to save somebody else from an avera. So why over here would Ravina say we should tell the person you be over on a mitzvah saseh in order to save other people from Avera? So there are explanations. The Ritva says that from here you see that the whole thing is only an Isur Dirabanan. In fact, soon we're going to see an example where we override it in order to accomplish another mitzvah Dirabanan. So on the other hand, there are other Rishonim who learn that it is in fact Daraisa, but they learn that Ramban and others say it's part of the mitzvah of Loisachonim, and Allah to give a gift to a goy for free. So in that case, just to be mashachar then without a good reason would be over on that. But here, when there's a good reason, now when you're doing it in order to save people from Isser, then that would work. The chinuch, by the way, the sefer achinuch has an interesting explanation. Why should the Torah not want you to free an Eved Knani? And he says the reason is because, after all, the Jewish people are supposed to be higher than the other nation. And that means we should have people who are available to work for us, to do our menial labor, so that Jews themselves don't have to do it. So if you go and free Avodim Knanim willy-nilly, then you're making it. After all, somebody has to do your work for you. So the result is you're making it that a fellow Yid is going to have to do it, and it's not right. So anyway, so Abaya is saying in a case over here of Isser is not reason enough to override that. Where's Ravina saying it is? Well, the question is, so what? Does Abaya not agree that where there's a matter of Isser involved, like this, where they're being mezana with her, that's not good enough reason to free her? It happened once with a certain woman, a shivcha knanis, who was half free and half slave and half free. We're going to talk about that case of half free and half slave more in a couple of blot. But one way that can happen is if she had two owners and one of them freed her and the other one didn't. Another possibility, a point to some tanoim, would be where the owner himself, where there was only one owner and he accepted money for half the value of the Eved or the Shifcha. But we'll talk about that in a couple of blocks. There's machlokes tanoim whether that works. But everybody agrees if she had two co-owners and one of them freed her, then she'd be chetzi shivcha v'chetzi basfarin. Anyway, they forced her master to make her a bas chorin because otherwise she can't marry either an Eved or a Shivcha. Now we're going to learn in a couple of blocks that when it comes to an Eved Knani, you have this Shama and this Hillel argued whether you do that, and then and this Hillel ended up agreeing with this Shammai that you force the master to redeem to let him go free, because otherwise he can't marry at all. And Lo Latoyu Bra, here we're talking about a woman, she doesn't have a mitzvah period of redivia. So nevertheless, so why did they do that? So the Amr of Nachum took Minag Hefker Nagaba. You have the same scenario. They were treating her as Hefker, they would be Mizana with her, and therefore they forced her master to free her. So we see that for a Dvar Aveira, that when there's an Aveira involved, you do that. So why doesn't Abaya agree to that? The answer is, the Gemara says, Hochi Hashta. How are you comparing the two cases? Chosam loyla evet chazia loyla ben chorin chazia. The fact is, they are being a chetzi shivcha, the chetzi bastorin. She can't be married to an evet or to a free yid, because the half of her that's a shivcha can't be married to a yid, and the half of her that's free can't be married to an evet. So there's nobody she can be married to. Therefore, it's much more likely that she's going to be Mizana, and there's nobody to keep her from doing that. Over here, in the case where she was a full shifcha, Abaya would say, fine, let the master designate her in marriage for one of his avadim. Mintola, and that Eved, her husband, will now watch her and make sure she's not Mizana in the future. So Abaya says, you know, to go to the drastic step of making the master free her, where it's going to be, where he's over on that mitzvah saseh, after all, when you have a better alternative of just having her marry one of his avadim. In the case of Rabbi Yitzchak, where that was impossible, then yeah, the only choice is to force the master to free her.
Why was it impossible? Because she's half and half.
Because she's half and half, and she can't marry either an Eved or a Shifcha. Yeah. I mean, you can't marry either an Eved or a Ben Chorin. Okay.
So the must... Giving the Torah back to an Eved, it's like taking someone can be a Jew and making her, you're giving it to...
No. Well, if she's married to an Eved Kanani, she's still a Shifcha Kanani. She still has all the mitzvahs.
On the other hand, she would marry...
If she would marry Ben Chorin, she'd be a full-fledged yid, but only as a Bas Chorin can she do that. Yeah. Okay. So the Gemara says, Gufa. Getting back to what we just said, Omer of Yehuda Amashmol, Kalam Shachar Avda Over Be'aser, person flees his slave, he's over on a mitzvah saseh, Shanem Ela Olam Behem Ta'avoidu. So the Gemara says, Meisvi, now we have a contradiction. A Braisa says, Meisa, but Rabbi Eliezer, Shenichnas, Beleis HaKnesses. It happened once with Rabbi Eliezer that he came to Shul. V'lei Motza Asara, he couldn't find 10 people, there was no minion there in Shul. V'shichra Avda V'shlim El Asara. So on the spot, he was Meshachar, his Eved Knani, and he became the 10th for the minion. So therefore, so how could he do that if there's an Eved? If there's an issur to do that, if there's a mitzvah to say not to do that. And the answer is mitzvah shiny. It's different when there's a mitzvah involved. So here, this is subject to the machloikas we were just talking about, the rishonim. What's the underlying idea of this thing, of the olam behem ta'avodu? Is it only a mitzvah d'rabbanon? In that case, then the same chachamim who said not to do it can say, in the case of mitzvah, then you can override that.
Shows
the power of a minion, of course. Or you could say that, or you could say, even if it's daraisa, it's because of lois chonim, don't do it for nothing. Well, here it's not for nothing. It's a mitzvah. On the other hand, Tosfos says that maybe what we mean is only whether and only whether a mitzvah derabim, only whether there's a mitzvah that affects the public, then you would say that's enough to override the mitzvah of olam behem ta'avodu. In this case, it's for the rabim, for them to be able to daven with a minion. In the case of the shivcha knanis that we were just talking about, it was a mitzvah derabim because rabim would be nichshol with her, but not necessarily where it's just for an individual to be able to fulfill a mitzvah to say that might be reason enough to free an eved. Tosfos says not. Tonon Rabbanon, we learn in a braisa, the pasuk says, "Lo'olam b'hem ta'avoidu." You should have them work for them for you forever. Rishus divrei Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel holds that's not saying a mitzvah that you have to keep them forever. It's saying optionally, unlike an Eved Ivri who goes free after 6 years or at Yovel, as the case may be, an Eved Kanani you could keep forever. Rabbi Akiva on Mechoyva. Rabbi Akiva says, no, the pasuk is telling you it's an actual obligation to keep them as an Eved forever.
Sure, right, some of that without meaning religion.
Why? It could mean the Olam Behem Ta'avodu. You're allowed to. An Eved Ivri, the Pasuk is saying before that, an Eved Ivri you can only keep for a certain amount of time. Rashi says, then you're going to wonder, so who's going to work for me? An Eved Ivri I can't have permanently. An Eved Knani, the seven nations of Knani you have to wipe out, so who's going to work for me? So fine, the Torah is telling you, you have the concept of an Eved Knani from other nations. By the way, we call him Knani because Eved Avodim Yil Echav, but really an Eved Knani is somebody who comes from some other nation. If he comes from one of the seven nations of Canaan and lives in Eretz Yisrael, and you have to wipe him out. But anyway, so the Pasuk could be saying that just to reassure you, don't worry, you're not going to have to do without Avodim, as the Sefer HaChinuch says, you're Mamlachas Kohenim B'Goy Kodesh, who are you going to have? Do your menial work for you, don't worry, you'll have Avodim to do it.
But Rabbi Akiva is saying it's an actual mitzvah. So the Gemara asks, but Duma Lois, so now that we know that Rabbi Shmuel says it's not a mitzvah in the first place, the Duma Rabbi Eliezer Savala Commander Amar Rishus, why did we have to just answer that Rabbi Eliezer freed his slave because mitzvah shiny, because it's different when there's a mitzvah to be accomplished? Why don't we just say more straightforwardly? He holds like Rabbi Shmuel that there's no mitzvah in the first place to not free an Evan. The answer is Lois Sakadai, you can't think that way. The Tanya behead, Rabbi Eliezer and Chayva. We learn clearly in a Braisa that Rabbi Eliezer says it's Chayva, like Rabbi Akiva. So therefore, we can't say, so therefore, according to him, it is in fact a requirement to keep the Eved Klani. So therefore, only when mitzvah shiny, only then can we override that. Okay, so the Gemara says, by the way, Omar Rabba Bahani Tlas Mili Nachsi Balabatim Minichsehan. There's because of three things that Balabatim do that causes them to lose their wealth. number one, the Mapti Avdayu L'Chirusa, that they free their Avodim, and therefore they're over on this mitzvah saseh that we just said. Also that they look over their property on Shabbos to see what needs to be fixed and what needs to be done with it after Shabbos. So they have the opposite story. One second, we'll talk about what Maharshal says about the Chosid Echad. Right. So Me'ikar Adin. So now the technical halacha is Dibur Osu Hir Hur Mutu. You're not allowed to talk about such things on Shabbos. In principle, you're allowed to think about them, but nevertheless, the fact that they're making a regular practice of it causes them to lose their wealth. And the third one, and the third one is that they arrange their Shabbos meal at the time when the Chacham is darshaning in shul, and meanwhile they're sitting at their meal. They should either be having their meal earlier and later, so that they and their guests can go to the drasha and hear practical Hilchos Shabbos or halachas of the appropriate to the time of the year that the Rav is darshaning. We're talking about Shabbos.
But they already Shabbos already eats.
No. So we're talking about, in other words, on Shabbos itself. So let's say, for example, they find out, for example, let's talk a bit in terms of the Chacham being Dirdish, you know, back in the good old days before Chav Zayin Adar, you know, if you know there's going to be a Fabrengen at 1:30 and you arrange that your Shabbos meal is called for 1:30, then that's what the Gemara is criticizing over here. Make your Shabbos meal earlier or make it later after the Fabrengen is over. Same idea, yeah. There were two big families in Yerushalayim. Achas kovas sudas b'Shabbos. One of them had their main meal on Shabbos at the time when the Chacham is Dirdish, and instead they're sitting at their meal. So therefore, we're saying that's no good. Achas kovas sudas b'Erev Shabbos. The other one had their main suda on Erev Shabbos. So Rashi gives two explanations. One is that they made their Friday night meal better than their Shabbos meal. So fine, they're trying to do that so that the daytime meal doesn't interfere with the Rav's Derasha. The problem with that is that it's supposed to be that the Kovod Yom Kodim L'Kvod Laila, the Kovod of the daytime meal of Shabbos, is actually supposed to be better than the Kovod of the nighttime meal. So therefore, they were making a mistake in that. That's Rashi's first explanation. Rashi's second explanation is, and a number of other Rishonim agree with the second one as well, Erev Shabbos means literally that. They would have a big meal on Erev Shabbos because you're not supposed to. You're supposed to go into Shabbos with an appetite, and they wouldn't do that. They would have big meals on Erev Shabbos. Rishonim point out that the Rashba points out that if you can have as a once occasional thing, then that's not so bad. You have, let's say, for example, you have a bris on Erev Shabbos or some other simcha like that. You have even, for example, there can be sometimes Purim comes out on Erev Shabbos and you have a meal then. That's fine. He was saying they were doing it with kviyos. So it was a regular thing. Anyway, the result was Ushnei and Nekru, both of those families were uprooted and there's nothing left of them. So we see that to act in these ways is no good.
Kiddush
Friday night, we make on a whole kiddush, and then we have a meal.
You can make some people make maskulas.
Fine, that's...
I said that the night is more important than...
So as far as the kiddush, the nighttime kiddush is more important because that's Daraisa, and then the one by day is only Darabanan. But as far as the meal, the Gemara tells us elsewhere that the meal should be nicer by day than it should be by night. The Rashi refers to, we're actually going to have something about that
further. We're going to have something further about that on Daf Mem. No, actually, I take that back. That Daf Mem is something else. No, it's a Gemara in Pesachim that says it's a Gemara in Pesachim that says Kvoid Yom, Kvoid Yom, Kvoid Laila. As far as the Kiddush, yes, the one by night is Daraisa, the one by day is only Darabanan. But as far as the cupboard of Shah, as far as the cupboard with the meal, the one by day should be the more important one. So now, why Davka these three things? So Marsha says that the person himself, so when he frees his Eved where he's not supposed to, then he himself is taking away from his own Nechosim. He's being over on an Eser and reducing his own Nechosim. So the result is Hashem causes his Nechosim to get reduced in the future. When he's looking over his property on Shabbos, so that means that later on, when he does the work on weekdays, it won't have a bracha in it. So now you mentioned the Chosid Echad. So yeah, that's the exact opposite of that. The Chosid Echad saw that there was a breach in his fence on Shabbos, and his first thought was, I need to fix it. And then he said, you know what, I'm never going to fix it. And Hashem gave him a special bracha. So here it's the other way around. And then and the third one about having the Suda on Shabbos is because, again, he's showing that his Suda, he considers his Suda to be more important than learning Torah, and therefore in Malach and Mesparechas, therefore there's no bracha in his Malacha, and therefore he ends up becoming poor. The Iyun Yaakov, on Ein Yaakov, mentions another point. Each of these things shows a certain degree of stinginess. Why would he be freeing an Eved? Because he decides it's not worth to keep the Eved anymore. It's not worth to feed him anymore. The looking over his property on Shabbos, like he's so concerned with his wealth that he needs to focus on it even on Shabbos. And then the one about when he has his main meal on Shabbos at the time of the drosha, is he's thinking, you know what, that way poor people won't come to my meal because they're going to be in there that way. I don't have to be machnas odach because they're going to be busy at the drosha, and so therefore and he thinks, oh, for his Shabbos, he says, the vote is, he's thinking during the week, my time is precious, I don't have time. On Shabbos, I'm not doing anything anyway, so I might as well be sayur nifsei. So all of these that Yon Yaakov says are showing that he's greedy. So therefore, yeah. Okay. Continues the Gemara. Omer Rav, hamakdish avdo yotze l'cheiros. If a person declares his Eved hektish, then that Eved goes free. So my timer, why is that? Gufe l'kadish, the actual body of the Eved itself cannot become hektish because it's not the goof of the Eved can't be brought on the Mizbeach, of course, and Bedek Abayis can't really use him either. On the other hand, Ladomi Loikomar, he didn't say that I'm only being makdish the value of the Eved. Therefore, we have to assume Delahevi Am Kodesh Komar, by saying my Eved is hektish, he must have meant to say that he should be part of the Am Kodesh, which is the Jewish people. So Rashi points out, now it's one thing if you makdish a behemoth tmeya. Obviously it can't be part of the Am Kodesh, so therefore it must mean we have to reinterpret what he says. I'm not makdish it legufay, but only the domov. But over here, since there is a kedusha that's shayach to the goof of the Eved, then he should have clarified and said that it's ledomi rather than not. And if not, then it means he wants kedusha to be on the goof of the Eved himself.
Working
in the Bais Mikdash still, that would in effect be that the Bais Mikdash owns only his Maisi Yodav and not his goof. So Tosfos discusses various details about that. So why don't we say, for example, that Hekdesh is that he's Kodesh to the extent where now Hekdesh can sell him to somebody else. And again, the answer is that, and then Tosfos says, because and the Gemara is going to, you have a din, for example, that when a person is makpis tmimim, lebedek abayis, if a person says that an animal that's a tam, that's able to be used as a korban, if he donates it to bedek abayis, then actually, it actually has to be brought on the mizbeach. The gizborim can't go and sell it to somebody else. So the same way over here, Tosfos compares it to that and says that it can't just be that we're talking about, that he's saying that he should belong to bedek abayis to the extent where he can sell it to somebody else. And then Tosfos goes on with various other details about it. On the other hand, Rabbi Yosef Omer Rav Hamafkir Avdei Yotze L'Cheiros. Rabbi Yosef says in the name of Rav differently that the vote is, if he says his Eved is Hefker, then he goes free, like we said on Omer Aleph. So Manda Amar Makdish Koshkin Mafkir. Rabba, who says that this din applies when he's being Makdish the Eved, he would say all the more so if he's Mafkir the Eved, that he goes free and doesn't need to get Shikhar. Manda Amar Mafkir, but according to Rabbi Yosef, who says only if he's Mafkir him, he goes free. Have a Makdish Loy, he would say, but if he declares the Eved Hekdish, then no, he does not go free. Dilma Ladomi Karma, because the fact is, maybe he did mean that only the value of the Eved himself becomes Kaddish and not the Eved and not the Eved himself. So it would be like when you Makdish a Behemoth Tmeya to Ben Kabayas or something. Okay, well, Iboilahu. So now the question is, Tsarich get Shikhru Oloy Tsarich. Before we were saying as a given that if he's Makdish him, or according to Rabbi, if he's Makdish him, he doesn't need a get Shikhru, but is that in fact the case? Does he still need a get Shikhru after that or not? So Toshma, the Amr Chiba of an Amr Rab, Echadzeva, Yatzal Acheres, but Tzarech get Shikhru. So in both cases, Makdish or Makdish, he does go free, but he requires a get Shikhru in order to be able to marry a Bas Yisrael. He still has a certain semblance of Avdus on him to the extent where he can't marry a Bas Yisrael until he gets that get Shikhru. So the Gemara says, Omer Rabba, Omer Svinan Ashmaitin. So Rabba says, in that case, then we have the statement of Rabbi Chiya Omer Rav, and we have the statement actually that Rabba is saying that I just quoted in the name of Rabba, Makdish Avda Yotzal Acherus. So Rabba says, actually though, we have something that seems to contradict that. A Brisa says, Hamakdish Nechosa, if a person is Makdish his Nechosim, Vahoyu Behen Avadim, and among those Nechosim are slaves. The Gizborim themselves are not allowed to free the Avodim. Now, it is true, Rashi says, that usually you could have, not only, of course, other people can buy an Eved and free him, but you can even have the Eved himself can raise money if people give him money on condition that your master doesn't own this money, then the Eved can use that to buy his freedom. But the Gizborim, again, they don't own the actual body of the Eved. All they own is the dummim, all they own is the Maisi Yadav of the Eved. So they don't have the ability to free, they don't have the ability to free the Eved. But they can sell the Eved to somebody else. And those other people, if they want, can free them. The Gizborim can sell the Eved to somebody else because they own the Eved to the extent of Maisi Yadav, and therefore they have the right to sell them to somebody else, and that somebody else would be able to free them. Tosfos points out also that the reason is because to do it derech shichur would be people would be mezalzel. People are going to think that not people are going to be mezalzel. It's going to look like they undervalued Hekdish. What are you going and freeing the guy? You took money for him to free him. What, you take too little in order, because you said you want him to be free? So you can't do that. Hekdish has to be sold at full price. So if you sell him, then fine. You're selling him to somebody else. Pastor is selling him at full price. Anyway.
The purpose of this is that the Hekdash should not have enough.
Yeah, this way Hekdash will have more money and they can use it for the upkeep of the Bismikdash. The Braisa can use Rebbe Omer. Omer Ani, Rebbe says, I would say, Afu Noisin Dmei Atzma V'yotze. No, the Eved can in fact give money for himself and then he goes free. Because it's like he's in effect, he's selling the Eved to himself. The point is though, we see that the Gizborim do have the right to sell the Eved. So what do you mean that if you Makdish the slave, then Yotzal Acherus? So that's what Rabbi is saying. I know I quoted in the name of Rab that Yotzal Acherus, but Rab seems to be contradicted by this Braisa. Like Moses says, what's the big deal? Masnissin Karomis Alei Rab. You bring a Braisa against Rab. Rab, Tana Hu Pol. Like Rab is considered a Tana because he was on the cusp of the generation between the Tanoim and the Amoroim, and therefore he's able to argue with a Braisa. So fine. The Braisa holds differently than Rab. No big deal. So the Gemara says, Toshma, let's try to bring another proof. A Braisa says, Ach ko cherem begoimim me'odam. The Pasuk says, any cherem that a person declares to Hashem as cherem of anything that he has, and the Pasuk continues, me'odam, of people. So what kind of people? Ela avodav shevchayis v'knanim. That means, as his Eved Knani or Shivcha Knanis. And the Pasuk is saying that it's L'Hashem. You have a machlokas in various places in Shas. If a person says cherem stam, doesn't mean we learned this in Nedarim among others. Doesn't mean cherem lashem, or does it mean cherem lakoyen? It doesn't mean that it belongs to bedek habayis. So cherem is just another way of saying hekdesh, basically. Or does it mean it's a specific thing, one of the 24 matnas kahuna from this week's parasha that goes to the koyen? Kol cherem b'Yisrael l'chol yiyah, like it says in this week's parasha. So there's a certain kind of cherem that goes to the koyen. But here we're talking about cherem to bedek habayis. So we see that it has Dusha Bedek Abayis. So you have the same question. Now you could say Rav Tana Hu Poli, but the difference is the Mitzvah says here we're learning from a pasuk. So therefore that's a much stronger limud, and you can't necessarily say that Rav is arguing on that. Anyway, so what is it? So we see that an Eved or Shifcha Kanani does have Kedusha, and they belong to Bedek Abayis. Not like Rab said, they go free. The answer is Hoch Maiskin and Amal Adami. The answer is that we're talking about, yes, if he said the Dumum of it belonged to Hekdesh, not saying the word Kedusha. If he says he's Kaddish, then like Rab said, he becomes part of the Am Kaddish. He goes free and becomes a full-fledged Yid. But here we're saying if he didn't say those words, if he said the Dumum. So the Gemara says, Yehochi Idach Nami. In that case, then why do you have to infer the previous braisa and say Rav is arguing with it? Just say in the previous braisa it was also where he said the dummy. The answer is, in that case, how could that braisa said the gizborim are not allowed to free them? Gizborim, my avidetayu. What gizborim? The Eved himself never belongs to Hekdesh in the first place. He only says domov, a lie that I owe Hekdesh the value of the Eved. So obviously, therefore, that braisa cannot be talking about domov. And similarly, the two and further, when the Braisa says Abu Moch and Oisim Lacherim, when they say it says they can sell the Eved to somebody else, Lacherim Matzia and Oisim Lacherus, and the others can free them again. Acherim my Eved Tayo. What Acherim? They don't belong. They don't own this Eved in the first place. All he said was dumb of a lie. The two and furthermore, Rebbe Omer Ani after Noisim May after Viyotze. When Rebbe says he could even pay for his own freedom and goes free, they show Kamoich Olay, because in effect the Gizbar is just selling them to himself. The Ela dummy, if it was talking about as far as money, again, what's selling him? The Eved was not Makudish in the first place. So the first Braisa, clearly, from all these proofs, the first Braisa cannot be talking about where the master said Ladomo. It has to be where it was Makudish, the Eved himself, and therefore we have to say Rav would disagree with that Braisa. The second Braisa, which didn't mention any of those points, there we could say that Braisa is talking about, to begin with, he said that it should be Cherem only as far as Domo. So then, fine. We're saying that may Adam that he's able to be makdish the dummim of his avodim, and those become cherem lashem or cherem lakoyim, as the case may be. So the Gemara tries another one. Toshma ha makdish avdo, a person that makdish his slave oisav oichel. The slave can still continue to do work and eat what he produces. We don't say that as mais yodav are considered hekdesh. Shalah hekdesh ala domov, because he was only makdesh his value. So how would that fit with what Rav says that if he's makdesh him, he goes free? He was saying that he still remains an eved.
The money goes where?
So the money now is going to go to is going to go to the Beis Mikdash. Yeah. So the money, the value of the eved is going to go to the Beis Mikdash. Right. The fact that whatever money he earns, he can now eat. I mean, he gives the money to his master or whatever, but he's able to continue eating. He's able to continue producing and working. His ma'isi yodav don't become hektish along with his value. So his value, you have, he's worth $100. So the master owes the Beis Mikdash $100. But the he wasn't makdish. The eved's ma'isi yodayim. Now there is a case we talked about in Sota, I think. We had a case where master is makdish the hands of the eved, and there we talked about that the eved has to work less than a pruta at a time, etc. There's a whole arifus about that, but here we're saying he was only makdish the domim of the eved.
What is the
Beis Mikdash gains that now you owe them the value of the eved? You figure out how much is this eved saleable for, and that amount is what you have to pay the Beis Mikdash. He's still an Eved. The point is, though, that it's like land or like a behemoth's mayor. We don't say it goes free. The answer is Homani Reb Meir. The answer is you could say this last Brai says, like Reb Meir, Dorma Einon Motzi Dvarav Levatola. He says when a person is saying something for Hekdesh, he doesn't say it Levatola. He doesn't say it for nothing. So therefore, so over here, he knows that an eved can't be brought as a korban or and can't be used for the building of the Beis Hamikdash. So therefore, by using the word hekdesh, he must have meant dama. So therefore, he must have meant dama. Meanwhile, the chachamim would disagree with that and say it could mean he didn't mean any form of hekdesh at all, but rather to free the eved. In fact, the Gemara says, "Hachinami mistabra." In fact, it's more logical to understand the Braisa that way. The Katani says that it's according to the mayor. The Katani is safer because the Braisa continues. The same way, if a regular Yid is makdish himself, same thing. Oisav oichel. It means he's allowed to continue working and earn money and eat from it. Shala hikdash ala dama, because he was makdish only his value. So, Yam Shlemer a mayor here. If you say that the whole Braisa is like a mayor shaper, then we understand that it all works out. Eli Amit Rabbanan he, but if you say the Braisa is according to the Chachamim, and say that when you say that you don't necessarily say when a person is machdish, then it means that he's being machdish the value of it. So Bishlema Avder the Domi Koy. I understand if he's machdish the Eved, it means that he means to be machdish the value of the Eved. So the Eved himself didn't become Kaddish, and therefore that's why the Braisa would say that he still remains an Eved. But if a person says he's machdish himself, what do you mean? Is he usually there for domim? A person of ben chorin is not usually sold for domim, such that we can talk about a value of his. If he said domai olai, that's different. But if he just says I'm machdish myself, how could we say even that it includes domim? Therefore, that necessarily brings us to say that the Braisa must be like Reb Meir, who says that yes, even if a person says I'm machdish myself, then it means that he means his domim. And the same thing, for example, Reb Meir says in other examples that when a person says a loshen of hekdish or a lot that he's donating something to hekdish, even if the thing itself can't be donated, we reinterpret it to make it something that it could be. We reinterpret it to be domim or whatever. So by the same token over here, then yes, the Braisa would be appointed a mayor. So therefore, you could say no problem. Rab holds like the chachamim. And then we have this Braisa like the mayor. Okay, so the Gemara will continue the discussion. We'll continue the discussion on this Mafgir Avdoi. We'll continue it tomorrow and Best Hashem and continue in general with more dinim about Avodim and the ownership of them.